Sometimes in this life, you might get discouraged. You wonder if you're all alone. You're just barely hanging on. Just stop and remember all the things He's done for you. Just look up to Jesus, and He will pull you through. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know. To know.
You said you never leave us or forsake us, and it's true. You're my today and my tomorrow. I'm not living without you. So I'll give you every breath. Lord, use me as you will. You made a way when there was no way. I can't help but worship you. So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the world to know. I will lift my praise for the world to know. To know.
Surrounded by your love, Lord, you're my healer through the pain.
You're my savior, you're my anchor, you're my refuge through the storm. I can't help but speak your name, Lord. We're gonna praise forevermore.
So I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise to the one who goes before me. Lift my praise to the one who sets me free. If I'm on the mountain high or in the valley low, I will lift my praise for the
What a Jesus we serve tonight. What a Jesus that we serve. Come on, men. Come on down. We will receive offering kind of out of sorts today since the Lord showed up this morning. And that is okay with me. And I want to say that God can make things beautiful. I'm so, so very proud of my brother. And I'm very thankful of my brother's Lord that wouldn't let him go. That, you heard his testimony this morning. And what really, really got me this morning was the advice that he received. The man told him to wake up for 5 days in a row, sit on the edge of your bed, and ask God, do you love me? Man, that was powerful. That was powerful to me. And my brother said that, he said on that fifth day, the Lord brought his mind to two words, shortest verse in the Bible, the book of John, where Lazarus was dead, and, you know, Mary and Martha. Well, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died, and Jesus wept. He said that Jesus wept with him. That was powerful to me. And if you didn't take anything out of the service this morning, just take this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who know Jesus. And I can't shake that. That's just wonderful. That will totally liberate a Christian to know that it's not the Lord that is putting guilt on you. Like he said, the Lord, you know, there's conviction, but it leads to repentance. But the guilt and all of those kind of things, the condemnation, well, I wish I wouldn't have done this. I wish I wouldn't have done that. No, the devil loves playing with those emotions. Well, brand new service tonight. We appreciate you being here. And let's pray, and then the men will take up the offering. Thank you guys for doing this tonight. And so I want to ask Brother Alan Young in the back if he would take us to the Lord, a word of prayer. Bless the offering. Yes.
Every one of us, Lord, has made decisions since we've been saved.
Yes.
God, calls you to turn your back and walk away. At times, even throw us away, God, you chose, Lord, to love us in spite of ourselves.
Yes.
We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that we're here tonight, with an opportunity for your book to be opened one more time. I pray that your Holy Spirit will seek us out. I pray, God, that you will just reveal to us exactly what we need to know, what we need to know tonight. How we need to grow in grace for you, Lord, every word, every syllable, every period, every talk, Lord, over the eyes and the teeth and the dashes across the teeth. It's on purpose tonight, just for us, for those that are here, for those that are listening throughout the social. God, I just want to just praise you for who you are. Lord, as small as we are, as big as you are, Lord, we stand in awe of you. Thank you, sir, once again, God, for your amazing grace. Testimonies that we've heard throughout the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. While these young men take up the offering, I kind of cut short last Sunday night when we were outside our testimony service. Maybe someone has a testimony they'd like to share. Not twisting any arms, not doing anything like that. But if someone has something they want to say tonight, please feel free. Before we get into the word.
Sunday.
Thank you for that testimony. You know, that dolphin's name was Flipper. Anybody else? All right, well. Isaiah chapter number 61 tonight. We're not going to keep you that long. Of course, I say that and it goes long, so if I don't say that, it might be shorter, but we've come here tonight to worship and hear from God, so we ain't going to be in no hurry. But I do want to say that we know we're on the threshold of a brand new week, and folks got work and school, and so we're going to be mindful of that. But we didn't want to mention some things out of Isaiah 61, verse number 1 through 3. And again, my message ties in with the events of the day. So we just want to try to bring out a few things from verse number 3 specifically tonight that I hope will be a blessing and a help to you as it was to me. But let's pray, and then we're going to read again from verse number 1. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. You're the God of the mountain, the God of the valley. You're God over all. Thank you, Lord, for the kind of day we've had in your house. I pray that many lives were touched this morning. Thank you for those who responded in the altar this morning. Several throughout the service came. Lord, tonight I pray that you would use me, Lord, as a mouthpiece. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to the hearts of your people, do something that only you can do. And we'll praise you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's reading Isaiah 61, verse 1, 2, and 3. This evening, let me just say a few things about the book of Isaiah in its entirety, and a little bit about the author. The book of Isaiah is known as the mini Bible, or the Bible within a Bible. For example, Isaiah has 66 chapters, as the Bible has 66 books. You can divide this book, the book of Isaiah, into two parts. Number one, Israel's condemnation. And then the second part, Israel's liberation. The Bible in its entirety has two parts. The Old Testament, which deals with the letters D-O. Then the New Testament, which deals with the letters D-O-N-E. Jesus did what the law could not do, that is, save us. The law was demanding and certainly brought conviction, but it was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The Old Testament is spelt do. The New Testament is spelt done. Again, what the law could not do, Jesus totally did. So that's a couple things about the book itself. But what about the author of the book of Isaiah? The author of this book, the book of Isaiah, is Isaiah. And he was chosen by God to be his, chosen by God to his prophetic office to foretell unique prophecies regarding the Messiah, and the suffering servant, both are the same, and much more prophecies. The name Isaiah means Yahweh is salvation. So it really makes perfect sense tonight, Isaiah being used as he did and as he in the Old Testament, it makes sense that Isaiah was used during a time when it was of utmost importance for the people of Judah to realize that salvation was of the Lord and not of human effort. So Isaiah's name means Yahweh is salvation, and that was his job, to not necessarily force tell, but foretell. And there's a difference when it comes to preaching. More specifically, these Old Testament prophets, mainly they foretold future events. And preachers of today, we foretell what's already been told. Of course, Isaiah foretold as well. And so that's just a couple of things about the book, about the author. And so with those things said, I want to call your attention back to verse number 1 through 3. And of course, verse number 3 tonight will be our main verse. But I do want to mention a couple things from verse number 1 and 2 before we get in verse number 3. In verse number 1, we see that this verse speaks of a person. Now I want you to notice the word me in this verse, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And so verse number 1 speaks of actually two people. Number 1, it speaks of Isaiah, and he's speaking, Isaiah, of himself. But also, he's speaking of the coming Messiah. For Isaiah is preaching hope in verse number 1 through 3 to those in the Babylonian captivity. Yet, in a much larger sense, he is preaching of a greater hope that would come to a lost and dying world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so verse number 1, we have a speaker, a certain person, and that is Isaiah speaking of himself and of the Lord. But also in verse number 1 and verse number 2, I want you to notice that these verses speaks of a mission. So they speak of a person, but they speak of a mission. Notice in verse number 1 the word to, T-O. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Stop there in verse 2. And so while Isaiah certainly had a role in bringing hope and freedom to Israel and the people of God, it was very limited on what he could do. We mentioned verse number 1 talks about preaching good tidings and binding up the brokenhearted and proclaiming liberty to the captives and all of those things. Isaiah, in a sense, did those things. He was used. He had a role in that, but it was limited. In the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit would empower men and women to do certain things, but it was with limitation. And so we see and we know that man is limited on what he can do. The verse does say in verse number 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me too. And so Isaiah is saying that God hath anointed me
for the role that I have to bring hope to the people of God, but it was limited. Now we know in a much larger sense that the Messiah, he is also speaking of, and he was anointed without measure. The Messiah and the Holy Spirit are one, as you know, which supplied Christ with everything needed to be the Savior. Let me say three things in verse number one about the Messiah and about his anointing that was without measure. Man is limited and Jesus was not. Number one, in verse one, we see the Messiah as prophet. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Speaking of the Messiah now. "Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." And so we see here that our Lord is prophet. He came to this earth to preach good tidings to the poor. But also in this verse we see that he is priest. Notice what he says. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." We know that in the book of Hebrews it says that we have a standing invitation to enter in to the throne room of grace, that we may find grace to help in time of need. And he is not only prophet tonight, but he is priest. The Lord has the ability to bind up our broken hearts. He has a way about himself that grants us grace when we need it the very most. So he is priest. He is prophet. But also in this verse, he gives mention of being king. Notice what else he says. "To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison." Here he is portrayed as king, bringing liberty to the captives. Now, in the Old Testament, I believe this in the book of Leviticus, but there is what they call the year of Jubilee. We have Jubilee around here, and that's for a reason. And so its biblical roots is that a certain time annually, captives and servants and slaves were released from their duties and they were able to go back to their homelands for full possession. And so in like manner, Jesus here through Isaiah is being prophesied that not only is he prophet, not only is he priest, but he is king. Jesus has a way of releasing us servants and slaves to sin, to leave a life of sin and to serve him as our creator. And so we have prophet, priest, and king. So we have Jubilee here at the church. And Jubilee is a time of liberation. Jubilee is a time of those being set free that maybe have come in that, I don't know, that's been following the Lord from afar or not even following the Lord from afar, that's been walking with the Lord, but it's a time of celebration. It's a time of jubilation, as the song says. So in this verse, we see that he's prophet, priest, and king. And so verse 1 and 2 speaks of a mission. Verse 1 speaks of a person. And so I want you to look at verse 2 once again. He says in verse 2, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, in the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Just in summary, I will say about this verse, that this verse speaks of liberty and vengeance of those in the Babylonian captivity, but also liberty when the Messiah would come, which he already has, and a final vengeance that is yet future upon this earth. Verse number 2 embodies those truths. And so now we're in verse number 3. And I want to call your attention to three other things that this Messiah can do. In verse number 3, he says to appoint or to give. In other words, he came to give us something. to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion or Jerusalem. And it pictures the people of God, but it also is for the church of God. To appoint unto them, to give unto Jerusalem, to give unto the church, to give unto those who believe in me, beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. These three things are also part of the Lord's mission. And these are three things that he can do for us if we just let him. So tonight there's the title of the message, which is just simply, God can make things beautiful. God can make things beautiful. Everybody in here could testify some things that God has turned around in your life. And so we know that God can make things beautiful. We heard my brother's testimony this morning. I have my testimony, and you have your testimony. But let's just mention three things that God can do to make things beautiful in our lives. Number one, in verse number three, God can transform us. God can transform us. He says in verse 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. I want you to notice something he did not say in this verse. He did not say beauty instead of ashes. In the Bible, in Bible times, those experiencing great sorrow, grief, and pain would put on sackcloth and ashes. Through this, it would express their great grief and pain. This was a kind of lamenting. They would put on sackcloth and ashes. Others would sprinkle ashes upon their heads. And then it pictures just a time of great grief and a time when life is unpleasant. Listen to this. Esther chapter number 4 and verse 1. In that verse it tells us that after Mordecai learned of Haman's evil plot to kill the Jews, he went out, get this, in the midst of the city. And he put on sackcloth and ashes. And went out in the middle of the city and cried with a loud, bitter cry. What was Haman's evil plot? Haman's evil plot was to kill the people of God. And so this was eating Mordecai up. He had a time of great grief and pain and a time of lamenting. He was mourning for the people of God. So he put on sackcloth and ashes. Job chapter number 2 and verse number 8. This is what Job did after losing everything that he had. The Bible says, and he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Job lost it all. He lost his family. He lost his finances. I mean, he lost everything that he had. And so he sat down on an ash heap. This is a type of lamenting when it comes to ashes. But let me say something else about ashes. Ashes are the result of something that has been burned and has been in the fire. Ashes are what's left, remnants of what was. Ashes speaks of the leftovers, and ashes speaks of what's been charred. Little illustration to prove my point a little more, make my point. There were so many ashes left behind after those two maniacs drove those planes of suicide bombers into the Twin Towers. Ashes for days. There was an ash heap that was left behind from the Twin Towers. That happened on 9/11. On 9/17, the Atlanta Braves played the New York Mets in New York.
And it was the testimony of Brian Jordan as of recently. I said this the other Sunday. That there was fear in that stadium. Every time a plane flew over their head, they were kind of like, could you imagine, you know? Is it going to crash on the field? And so there was great fear. And Brian Jordan said that, man, there was so much ash in the air that it was hard to breathe. It was so difficult. And all of those things came from that horrible, horrible experience that America and lives are feeling today, all because of those two people that drove that plane, that flew that plane, those two Muslims, and destroyed many, many lives. Ashes are attached to troublesome times. Ashes are attached to things that have been burned and tried in the fire. Talking about ashes. Ashes are the devastations of our lives. It's the pain that stays, the failure that's present. That's what ashes are. We all experience these ashy times, if I can say it that way. There's times where we experience the loss of something in our life, some kind of setback, some kind of heartache or pain. Some more than others, some more severe than others, but there's times where we all sit down on life's ash heaps. But thank the good Lord tonight that He doesn't leave us on the ash heaps. Back to Mordecai, we know that wasn't the end of the story. Because the Jewish people were saved by the hand of a bold and brave and courageous woman named Esther. She prayed and she fasted and she went before the king in his presence. And you know that your presence has been accepted and you can approach the king when he would point that scepter forward. That means, come on, what do you have? She approached the king after much prayer and much fasting. Her maidens prayed. They fasted. Everybody fasted for this cause, this dilemma in their life. And she approached the king, and the king held out that scepter, knowing that she had his approval to come into those inner courts. So many times in life we have devastation and these moments of catastrophe. And we try to step in and bridge the gap and pray and fast for one another. But there's one thing about it. King Jesus wants us to come to Him. He wants us to come into His inner courts. He wants us to bring our problems, our dilemmas to Him. And so we know that the result of that story is the Jewish people were liberated. We know that the king reversed the letters. And Esther was the hero. You know, the name God is not even mentioned in the book of Esther. But you can see His handiwork and His hand working all through the book of Esther. And sometimes in life, we're not sure where God's at. We don't feel His presence as we once did. And we try to pray and it's not reaching the top of the ceiling. And all of these things are going on in our life, and we're sitting on an ash heap. I want to say tonight that God has a way of turning our ashes into beauty and bringing beauty from ashes. Job received a double blessing at the end of his life. We, as the American people, are much stronger and courageous and bold and brave as a result of 9/11. There's beauty from ashes tonight. What's your situation? What's your problem? What kind of ashes are you dealing with? Oh man, this just came to me. I love when the Lord does that. Remember in the book of Nehemiah, when they were getting ready to rebuild that wall, they went to remove the stones from the rubbish of when that wall was demolished. And they were going to reuse some of those stones. Isn't it a blessing tonight that God brings beauty from ashes? He has a way of allowing us to pick up the pieces that's been shattered, to pick up the things in our life that's been broken and use them for His honor and His glory.
What a blessing tonight. Beauty from ashes. God has a way of giving us beauty from ashes. He works all things together for our good and His glory. He gives grace. He shows mercy. He brings beauty from ashes. God can transform our situation if we will let Him. So tonight, God can make things beautiful. He can transform us if we will just let Him. Roses are beautiful, but they have thorns. You cannot grab a rose without being stuck by a thorn. Likewise, we can't experience God's roses without His thorns. So number one, God can transform us. He can transform our situation into something beautiful. There's a second thing that He can do in our lives. Not only He can transform us, but He can touch us. Notice what He says again in verse 3. To give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Again, Isaiah is talking about the people of God that is in Babylonian captivity. But also it's prophecy concerning the Messiah. And we know that when it comes to the Messiah, he's talking about how that God can help the mourners. God can help those who are in the ashes, and God can touch those. God can touch those. He says, oil of joy for mourning. Mourning means lamenting. Oil was used for many things in biblical times. Oil and perfumes were used during festivities and times of joy. But oil was abstained from being used during times of grief. Oil was also used by shepherds. The sheep would stray sometimes. Others would actually ram their heads into stones and ram their heads, grind their heads into trees. Why would they do that? Because they were seeking relief. You see, as those sheep would wander and do what they do, insects would burrow in their heads. And they would burrow in their heads and cause irritation and cause problems and cause just a big situation. And so what would happen? The shepherd would come by and he would pour oil upon their heads to calm that irritation and problem they would be experiencing. In the book of Psalms, chapter number 23 and verse number 5, the middle part of that verse says this: Thou anointest my head with oil. What is David saying? David is saying that, number one, I know what it's like to be a shepherd. And because of that, it reminds me of how God is to me. And David is saying there's those times in life where I'm irritated and frustrated, and I'm just ramming my head against the wall trying to make sense out of life. And I just need some kind of calming agent to come over me and to settle my mind and my heart. And he says, the good shepherd does that. He comes by and he has a way of anointing my situation. He anoints my head with oil. Has anybody ever experienced that? When you have done all that you can do and there's nothing left, you're on the verge of throwing in the towel. You're on the verge of quitting. You're on the verge of just going through the motions and the process. And it feels like God has turned His back on you. But out of nowhere, here comes the good, faithful shepherd. And he works in your situation. It's like a balm. It's a solvent. And you find yourself continuing on when you know you would have quit. You find yourself continuing, and you find yourself at a place where you're actually not even praying for you anymore. You're praying for others. You're asking God to do the same thing for your church family.
And so tonight, that's what David is saying in Psalm 23, but Isaiah is saying it. He's saying that's what God does. God has a way of applying the oil of joy for those that are mourning, those that are downcast and downtrodden. God has a way. There's something else that oil is used for in the Bible. Oil was also used to anoint for office. David was, in my studies, I found out David was anointed at least three times before becoming fully king. You see, the Lord anointed him, or Samuel anointed him, first when he was a little boy. Wasn't king after that. It was a long time before he was king. And then later in life, he was anointed by part of Israel. Not even the whole Israel yet. And then later on, he was anointed a third time. And that was by everybody being in unity. They said, "You're the man. We anoint you." You see, and I kind of tend to believe that through that whole process, God was building kingly characteristics in David. When he was a shepherd boy and he was fighting off the lions and bears, God was preparing him. And after that anointing, he fought Goliath. He beat Goliath. God was preparing him. Later on in life, he was anointed by half of Israel because there was a man named Abner that was selected to run for office. And Abner was against David, if I could say it that way. And so he was anointed. He had to deal with all of that. David had to deal with politics and for the position. And David had to deal with enemies at that time that were even close to him. And then came the full anointing. Kingly characteristics all along the way. What is God doing in your life tonight? Facebook Live, what is God doing in your life tonight? If you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior, God is building kingly characteristics in your life. He's allowing you to go through situations where you have to fully trust in Him. Situations where it's not just words out of the Bible, out of the book. They're much more than that, but He gets you to a place where you're relying on that book. He gets you to a place where you just sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." To a place where He is literally Jehovah Jireh. You are trusting Him for every crumb. You're trusting Him for every resource. Tonight we see that that's the experience that David went through. That's the experience that we go through. We know Him as our Savior tonight, those that are saved. But do you know Him as Jehovah Jireh, God's provider? Do you know Him as your healer? You may be experiencing situations because He is wanting to get intimate with you. But He has oil. Oil of joy. The oil of joy for mourning. And oil in the Bible is used for the anointing times when people are put into office. And so the Holy Spirit is also a picture. Or oil is also a picture of the Holy Spirit. And all of that put together, we see that God gives us what we need. He gives us that oil. He energizes us. He invigorates us. He gives us wind in our sails. He lifts our countenances all during times of mourning. The oil of joy for mourning. Let me mention something else. God can touch us. God can transform us. But then in verse number 3, God can tune us. God can tune us. He says, "The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." Now, before we look at the garment of praise, that spirit of heaviness, what is that? The spirit of heaviness is the feebleness of mind. the obscureness of how your situation is going to pan out. That word heaviness also means smoky. It means smoke. It means something that is thick and obscure. Listen to what David says in Psalm 119:83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. David is saying that I have the spirit of heaviness. He says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. In Bible days, they would, in order to get wineskins, they would take those skins off of animals, they would hang them above a fire, and those skins would dry out. I mean, they would contract, and they would literally just dry out as they were above the fire. Of course, there'll be smoke also that was engulfing those wineskins as they were drying out. And David said, I am like those wineskins. I'm dried out. I'm withered. I'm barely making it. Wonder if there's anybody here tonight that feels dried out, withered, and barely making it. That was the case with a man with a withered hand. He had one full hand, fully extended, but the other hand was drawn in. It was dried from its moisture. It was contracted in. In many a days, he tried to fix his situation, and his hand never was fixed. But Jesus one day came by and said, stretch forth thine hand. Wait a minute, God. I've tried that. That don't work. Wait a minute, Lord. I've tried to correct my situation. I've tried to line up my life. I've tried to fix my problems. It's just not working. But nevertheless, I'm adding that. At thy word, I will stretch forth my hand. And he did. And the hand was made like the other hand. You see, in our spiritual journey, it's been my experience that God stretches us. There's times where spiritually I feel dry, Brother Allen, you know, pastoring and preaching. You get dry, and you don't want that. You get dry, and you open God's Word, and it feels like it's just ink on paper. And you know you need to produce, and you don't want it to just be a lesson. You want it to be life. So there's times where we're dry, and there's times where there's devastation in our life, and we try to fix things, and we've tried, and we've tried, and we've tried. And that's the problem much of the time, is that we try, like that man with a withered hand. But finally, at God's word, he tried. He stretched, and the miracle happened. David says, I am become like a bottle in the smoke, dried up, withered. I'm barely making it. Life is foggy, and the fog and the smoke is thick. There may be some smoke in your life. Those watching, there may be some thick fog in your life. There may be some smoke you're dealing with. There may be some junk that you're trying to go through in your life. There may be some ashes in your home life, at your work life, at school. There may be some times of devastation in your life. But the Lord knows how to anoint us. The Lord knows how to bring beauty from ashes. But he also knows how to deal with us with a spirit of heaviness. And so that word heaviness means feeble, obscure, smoky. And in this verse, back in Isaiah 61, verse 3, he's talking about the faint and despondent heart. And so what about the garment? What about the garment? He says, the garment of praise, this is what the Lord can give us for the spirit of heaviness. Garments in the Bible were used for certain occasions. If a lady was getting married, she would wear a wedding dress. I put groom a tuxedo. I doubt it very seriously. In Bible days, they had tuxedos. But my point is, a man, the groom wears a tuxedo, the bride wears a wedding dress. And whatever was going on in the Bible days, they wore garments suitable for those occasions. And so, whatever the occasion called for, you would dress in garments suited for the occasion. What about the story of the prodigal son? He was out in the world. He took all his inheritance. He demanded it from his father. He took the inheritance. He went to a far country, joined himself to that country, ended up in the pig pen, and would have eaten the very husk that the pigs did eat. He came to himself. It took getting in the pig pen to come to himself. But he said, I will arise and go to my father's house. He went to the father's house, and while he was a great way off, the father seen him, ran to him, fell on his neck and crushed him. No. Fell on his neck and kissed him. That's what blessed me about my brother's testimony. I know it's God's testimony. But what was so special and inspired me was that the spirit of heaviness lifted from him when God showed himself real to him. And it wasn't condemnation. It wasn't a lightning bolt striking him dead in his living room. But it was kisses. It was kisses. It was a warm embrace. It was, son, I'm glad you're home. And so in the story of the prodigal, there was a party in his honor. There was a ring placed on his finger. But then there was a robe placed on him. And it suited the situation. Because it was a time of celebration. The son was lost and he came home. And so he put the ring on his finger. He put the robe on him. They killed the fatted calf. Amen. And they had a great, great dinner. And so garments, they have to do with occasions. And so what is the Bible talking about? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Listen. In times of heaviness, God knows how, if we let Him, to give us a garment that draws our attention to the truth of God's Word, and as a result, there will be praise. God knows how to give us a garment of praise. You remember Paul and Silas in the stillness of the midnight hour, they prayed and sang praises. How is that possible? Because the Lord showed up and covered them with the garment of praise. They knew based upon God's word and based upon their mission that if nothing else, it was God's plan for them to be in jail. It was the perfect will of God for them to be incarcerated because they were preaching the gospel. And so they were in the perfect will of God, the dead of midnight, and they began to sing praises. God knows how to cover us with His love tonight and allow us to sing praises. Praise the Lord on a Sunday night. I don't care if it's Sunday night or Sunday morning or Monday morning or Monday night. Hey, we're going to have church. Come to my house Monday night, we'll have church. Me and Lily went to the Mall Arbor place on her birthday. You know, typical dad move. You know, daughter's birthday, take her to the mall. I ain't going to embarrass her. But went to the mall. And believe it or not, we found a Christian store. Arbor Place Mall, true story. And in Arbor Place Mall, the name of this Christian store was Sanctuary Girl. We looked, she looked, I looked. Well, let's go in, let's check it out. And so we went in, Sanctuary Girl, Christian store. And right in the middle of the store, there was a post from the floor to the ceiling. And there were little sticky notes all over the post. This is the truest story. Lily will tell you, go see it for yourself. And so the owner of the store said, she came and said, "Hey, how y'all doing?" I said, "I'm doing great." I said, "What's all this on this post?" She says, "It's prayer requests." And man, we got to look, and that post was wrapped with sticky notes. And I got to read some of them, and it's okay if we read them. Yeah, it's okay. We was reading them, and, you know, pray for my wife. She's sick. Pray for my loved ones. They got COVID. Pray for our family. We just lost a loved one. I mean, it was overwhelming. And I told the owner, I said, "It's emotional looking at this." She goes, "Yeah, very emotional." But getting to my point, she showed us the merchandise. I'm talking about it is a nice store. Top-notch stuff. Not no little trinkets. Very nice store. They had these blankets that were hanging on these posts. And she said, "These are our prayer blankets." And immediately, you know, I was interested. She said, "This one has this verse, that one has that, this one has Psalms 23. And she got down to the very end and she said, "This is our healing blanket." She says there's Psalms wrapped all the way around the perimeter of the blanket, but there's all kinds of healing verses going up and down, right and left. Wasn't it, Lily? All over that blanket. She said, "What you do is, you buy this blanket, and when you're going through your time of heaviness, your dilemma, you just wrap yourself up in this blanket, and you just claim all those promises. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down." And all those verses. "Lord will never leave me. Lord will never forsake me." All of those verses, she said, you just wrap yourself up, and you just start thinking about God and His faithfulness. And she said, there's been people actually that have called and told me they've been healed. Now, I'm not telling you that blanket has anything special within the blanket itself. But what I'm saying is, what's special is what's on the blanket. Verses from the Bible, God's Word. And you see, if we just let the Lord wrap us up in the truth of His Word, no matter what we may be going through in this life, He has a way of allowing us to praise Him in the storm. He just has a way, the Lord has a way of giving us this garment of praise. And so I said, "Wow, we'll be back to get one of those." And so we see that God has given us some things that we can experience during our times of life. God, and the message tonight is, God can make things beautiful. He can wrap us up in His love. Look down in verse number 10. Verse number 10. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation." You don't have anything else to rejoice about and praise the Lord about? Praise Him for your salvation. "He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness." Thank God that when God the Father sees us, He sees the righteousness of God the Son. "A bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause," listen, "righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations." God can cause praise to come from us and our lips and our heart if we just let Him clothe us with some of the things we already have, some of the truths that's in His Word. They focused on, the chapter here is focusing on what the Lord can do. There's a song that says, "Come thou fount, every blessing." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? But there's a part in that song that says, "Tune my heart to sing thy praise. Tune my heart to sing thy praise." You see, tonight God can give us a tune-up in our circumstances. if we just let Him and focus on His goodness. He can tune our hearts. He can cover us. He can cover us with realities of what we have. He can wrap us with the realities of salvation, bring them afresh and anew to our minds. He can do all these things. Garments of praise, wool for oil of joy for mourning, and beauty for ashes. God can make things beautiful. Let's allow Him to do that this week. Father, we love You. We thank You. We just praise You on through, Lord, for what You do, for who You are. Pray tonight, if there is anyone that needs to come, let them come freely and do business with You. We're just thankful for how You move today. Let us always position ourselves so that there will be free liberty in Your house. Let us position ourselves so we can be that vessel that is for the Master's use. We love You. We praise You. Give liberty during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. If you need to pray, now's the time. On the threshold of a brand new week, how are you going to start your week off? With praise? It can happen. Anybody else? Spirit of heaviness, mourning. The Lord can fix that for you. Continuing to play just a little bit longer. Softly there. We appreciate you being here tonight. Let's be conscious of the one that's praying tonight. And so there's always time to pray in any given service if you need to stay after. So just remember that. And we appreciate you being here tonight. Appreciate what a good day we've had. And be blessed today. Amen. Amen. All we can ask for. Get a little stronger with each service. Go out and serve a little longer. Serve till the Lord comes. Maybe He'll come this week. Brother Don Nettles, maybe the Lord will come for us this week. Thank you, Brother Don. Sign up sheet up front for our trunk or treat. Thank you. Thank you. Let's remember John Ashworth. Miss Rebecca had called me before church tonight, and John, her husband, he has kidney failure right now. So let's remember him and her and their families tonight in our prayers. Let's do that. All right. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. All right. That's all we have. You're at liberty to go.